tax at participating restaurants for a limited time. Terms apply. See app for details.
It's time for Tim's.
Turn your day into a casino day. Play thousands of games, including slots, tables, live games, and jackpots. Join the fun at Casino Days. No purchase necessary. Open to all players 18 years and older. Free to play. Please enjoy responsibly.
Wealthsimple's Big Winter Bundle is our best match offer yet. Get a 2% match when you transfer over an eligible RRSP. For a $50,000 transfer, that's a $1,000 cash bonus. Enough to buy a fancy parka. A ticket to somewhere you don't need a fancy parka. Or just be responsible and top up your retirement fund. Plus, move any other eligible account and we'll give you a 1% match. Minimum $15,000 transfer. Register by March 15th. Additional terms apply. Learn more at wealthsimple.com/match.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
Don't settle for being on the rate of last resort if you don't have to be. Check your most recent electricity bill. If it says the words rate of last resort on it, then there are likely better options available for you. In fact, you could save hundreds of dollars per year by switching plans. Check your bill, then go to ucahelps.ca to explore your options. You will likely find a better rate and could have hundreds more in your pocket by the end of the year. A message from the Government of Alberta.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
This is chapter 3 of a series called The Complete History of Alt Rock. About 6 months after television started their residency at CBGB, a very odd group showed up. The date was August 16th, 1974. It's one of the big events in new rock history, but at the time, nobody noticed. This was the night a primitive, ragged, and decidedly goofy-looking bunch of guys in leather jackets and torn jeans played CBGB for the first time. They were called the Ramones. John Cummings was squeaky clean. He went to military college, collected baseball cards, and voted Republican. He had been in love with the guitar ever since he saw the Beatles play on Ed Sullivan back in 1964. Almost 10 years to the day later, he had a new friend named Douglas Colvin, an ex-hairdresser and future heroin addict who sometimes turned tricks on 53rd Street to earn money to score. They went for beers at a strip club, they got drunk, and they decided that they should form a band. So, after spending $250 between them on a guitar, a bass, and an amp, they held their first rehearsal 4 days later. Their drummer was a 6 foot, 6 inch skinny guy named Jeff Hyman, an OCD-suffering refugee from a failed band called Sniper. Their first gig was in March, and by July it became obvious that Jeff was a better singer than a drummer, so he moved out front. And their manager, Tommy, a recording engineer who once worked with Jimi Hendrix, took over on drums. There were some aesthetic changes, too. Everybody adopted a tough leather jacket and jeans look. And everybody had a stage name. Jeff became Joey. Douglas was Dee Dee. John was Johnny. And Tommy stayed Tommy. And as a symbol of their brotherhood, they all adopted the same last name. Ramon. And no, they weren't brothers. They took that name because, well, let's get them to answer the question.
We like to fib about it, but the truth is that Dee Dee was a big fan of Paul McCartney and the Beatles, and in the days of the Silver Beatles, Paul McCartney used to check on two hotel rooms using the alias Paul Ramone, and Dee Dee was such a big Paul McCartney fan that he changed his name to Dee Dee Ramone because of the days of the Silver Beatles, what Paulie did. So when we met Dee Dee, like, he was calling himself Dee Dee Ramone, and when we were thinking of a name for the band, we thought, oh, the Ramones, that'd be kind of unique. And
that's how it started.
Yeah, and then so we all, like, used our first names, and Ramones kind of signifies unity or
family
gang. Brother, yeah. Gang, brotherhood, all that crap. So here we are, the Ramones.
On August 16th, 1974, the Ramones opened for television. Or they might have been opening for two other bands. No one really remembers because there were just six people in the bar. Well, seven, if you want to count Hilly. Eight, if you want to count his dog. They played 20 songs in 17 minutes. Including this one. Blitzkrieg Bop, one of the first songs to figure into the myth and cult of the Ramones. And like I said, at its core, this music was bubblegum pop mixed with 60s garage rock played at a million miles an hour. But the Ramones did not impress any of the people that first night at CBGB. They fought between songs. Strings broke. Songs started and stopped in the wrong places. They were awful. Look funny, but the Ramones weren't trying to be funny. They were really, honestly trying to be serious. But like I said, the torture did not last long. The whole set was over in literally 17 minutes. Now, to be fair, the Ramones didn't think too much of CBGB either. The stage was too small. They thought Hilly needed to bathe more. And they hated how his dog, all the rats and all the mice, crapped all over the place. They didn't think much of the clientele either. Because the bathrooms were so awful, many patrons elected to relieve themselves where they stood. If they were polite, they wandered over into a corner. But with no place else to play, the Ramones returned to CBGB 22 more times before the end of 1974. And by the beginning of 1975, they were starting to attract some weird kind of attention. One person who remembers those early days was Tina Weymouth, the bass player for a future CBGB band called The Talking Heads.
There were always arguments backstage with, you know, in the early days for the Ramones, when people would complain that the Ramones didn't play long enough. They would say, well, they only played 45 minutes and the contract said they were supposed to play for an hour. And, you know, the reasoning was, well, they play an hour's worth of material in 45 minutes because they don't do any stage patter between.
All that mattered, though, was that the Ramones began to draw in the crowds. CBGB was becoming the center of a new scene featuring bands with names like Blondie and Suicide and the Talking Heads and a television spin-off band called the Heartbreakers. People were also talking about a thin, intense poet from New Jersey named Patti Smith. She had been giving these hip, avant-garde poetry readings on St. Mark's Place in the Village since 1971. Then she met Lenny Kaye, a record store clerk, and he would noodle on his guitar as Patti recited her poems. This led to a suggestion by her friend, an artist named Robert Mapplethorpe, that she make some recordings of these poetry readings that she could maybe sell in some of the cooler bookshops in the Village. It's a good idea. So on June 5th, 1974, Patti released 1,000 copies of a 7-inch single on Mapplethorpe's tiny independent label. Side A was called Hey Joe and written as a tribute to kidnapped newspaper heiress Patti Hearst. But it was the B-side that attracted all the attention. Because they had some time and money left after recording Hey Joe, someone suggested that Patti read a poem that she had written about a dead-end job that she once held. Her musician friends just vamped along in the background as she read this poem. This afterthought recording grabbed the attention of the New York avant-garde underground. Those 1,000 copies were quickly snapped up, and for the first time in a long time, a poet had everyone's attention.
This job in a piss factory inspecting pipe. 40 hours, $36 a week, but it's a paycheck, Jack. It's so hot in here, hot like Sahara. You can faint from the heat, but these bitches are just too lame to understand. Too goddamn grateful to get this job, to know they're getting screwed up the ass. All these women that got no teeth and gum or cranium, and the way they suck hot sausage with me, well, I wasn't saying too much neither. I was more a school. Just as the paragons of Georgia was a guy with the goods and guiding missiles. But now I got nothing, no diversion, no way.
Patti Smith and Piss Factory from 1974. That just might be the first true punk record. Oh, there's that word again, punk. Where did that come from? How did it end up being used to describe a certain type of rock music? This is a bit of an etymological mystery. Hundreds of years ago, the word punk was used to describe a young male gangster, a hood, a ruffian. The first use of the phrase punk rock appears to have been in the Chicago Tribune on March 22, 1970. Ed Sanders, the founder of a New York-based weirdo band called The Fugs, had released a solo album called Sanders Truck Stop. And in this interview, he described his record as punk rock redneck sentimentality. In December 1970, the Detroit-based music magazine called Cream ran an article from a critic named Lester Bangs who referred to Iggy Pop as that stooge punk. From there, we go back to New York to a musician named Alan Vega. He was in a band called Suicide, and they took that Cream reference and started calling their gig Punk Masses. Then it's back to Cream magazine in May of 1971 when a writer named Dave Marsh called Question Mark and the Mysterians purveyors of punk rock. After that, the term started popping up in other newspapers, other magazines, and in liner notes. The problem was that no one really knew what anybody meant by punk rock. By the middle 70s, the term was being thrown around very carelessly, very liberally. Patti Smith was called a punk. But then so was Aerosmith and Bruce Springsteen and even the Rolling Stones. Even the Bay City Rollers were called punks. It's all very confusing. Meanwhile, things were starting to evolve at CBGB. A scene was developing, and some people started calling this new stripped-down sound street rock. But that didn't have much of a ring to it. But then at the end of 1975, a new fanzine appeared. This fanzine was dedicated to singers like Lou Reed and groups like the Ramones, who appeared at CBGB. It also covered Iggy Pop and the Stooges, the New York Dolls, and even some of the raw, primitive garage bands from the 60s like Question Mark and the Mysterians. Now, at first, this fanzine was supposed to be called Teenage News, after an unreleased song by the New York Dolls. Instead, they got inspired by a picture of another New York band called the Dictators. This was on the inside of their 1975 album, Go Girl Crazy. It's a shot of them at a White Castle hamburger stand wearing black leather jackets. They look just like the troublemakers from the movies of the 1950s. Marlon Brando, James Dean, the kinds of characters that were called punks back then. Now remember, 50s nostalgia was big at the time, so these images and these words were back in use. A lot of people were talking about punks. And so, the authors of this fanzine decided to call their publication Punk. And as the CBGB scene grew bigger, circulation increased, and soon anyone who was featured in the fanzine was known as a punk artist. And the Dictators? Well, they've gone down in history as the band who inspired the word that described a brand new form of stripped-down rock and roll.
I leave a man in all the state. girls. The fastest car and a movie star are my only goals in life. It's the hippest scene, it's the American dream. After that, I'll always fight. I like to get.
Dictators with I Live for Cars and Girls. The album is called The Dictators Go Crazy. It's still in print, and if you look in the CD booklet, you'll see that famous picture. Now, lest we think that New York was the only place where music was undergoing a much-needed transformation in 1974 and 1975, we need to make a detour to Ohio. And there was news from England. And even Australia. More in a moment.
The ongoing history of alternative rock. No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3 The Edge.
Hey, Calgary, meet your local arborist, Jeremy, from Open Canopy Tree Company.
Jeremy here from Open Canopy. Want great-looking trees for spring? Then have us come out this winter. When you prune a dormant tree, it creates less stress for the tree. And when we can see the tree structure without leaves, pruning in the winter is also less stressful for your arborist.
Celebrating 10 years of tree care. Open Canopy Tree Company, internationally certified arborist for Calgary's trees. Book today at opencanopytree.com.
This Valentine's, win each other over at Cowboys Casino, Calgary's premier entertainment destination.
Learn to play poker, blackjack, craps, or roulette together and enjoy a fun, interactive date night.
Whether it's just the two of you or a group of friends, Cowboys Casino's Learn to Play packages will make your night unforgettable.
Located downtown, steps away from Stampede Park, Cowboys Casino offers complimentary heated underground parking to make your night stress-free.
Want to elevate your experience? Add on a reservation at one of the many restaurant options located inside Cowboys Casino for the perfect night out.
Ready to roll the dice on love? Book your date night at cowboyscasino.ca.
Home Network is here.
We are so lucky to be a part of this.
Every Thursday, watch heartwarming programs like an all-new Extreme Makeover Home Edition at 8.
We have 96 hours to build a house.
And Honest Renovations, starring Jessica Alba and Lizzie Mathis at 9.
Changing these homes, we can change families.
There's no place like it. Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by ColorSpark. It starts with a spark.
The highest standards of broadcasting. It's what we strive for every minute of the day. To live up to your expectations is our goal, our obligation. And as members of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, our promise is to be accountable to you, our listeners. Have a comment to make about our programming? Visit cbsc.ca to find information on the council and its codes. A message from the Canadian Association of Broadcasters and QR Calgary.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
Although New York has become enshrined as ground zero for the entire punk rock revolution of the middle 1970s, the city and the CBGB scene did get some help from Cleveland. New York hipsters did not have a monopoly on being bored with mainstream rock. For example, music fans in Cleveland had been treated to performances by the Stooges and Iggy Pop and the Velvet Underground over the years, and they had all made quite the impression. Several extreme groups popped up in Cleveland. They were artsy and very anti-hippie and very anti-establishment and boldly experimental. Flower power? Screw that. Prog rock? Pretentious silliness. Signing to a big corporate record label? Not a chance. One of these Cleveland bands, Rocket from the Tombs, eventually reorganized itself as Pere Ubu. In 1975, they began to release a series of self-produced indie singles that reached a few select ears around North America, and even as far away as the UK. This has become something of an indie rock classic. Recorded in early 1976, the third Per Ubu song ever to be recorded. This is called Final Solution.
Cause I've got a misdirection. Living
you were to hear that for the first time in 1976, you would have been chilled to the bone. No one was making music like that. When Ubu brought this music to New York, home of artsy soulmates like Television and Patsy Smith, they were embraced. Meanwhile, though, something weird was also happening on the other side of the planet in Brisbane, Australia. Out of nowhere, a band called The Saints released a rough, raw, garage band-like single that rocked in an entirely new way. They had obviously got their hands on some Stooges and Velvet Underground records, and they started goofing around under the name Kid Galahad and the Eternals by late 1973, early 1974. They found that they couldn't play slow, so they played fast. And by late 1975, they were out playing this song really, really fast. Now, try to imagine what it must have been like to hear a song like this coming off a record after years of dull and mindless pop. It was shocking and amazing. The Saints and I'm Stranded, which first showed up as an indie single in September 1976, 500 copies, and it quickly made its way to England, where the music media had a major freakout over it. In fact, you can make a case that because of that media freakout, three bands changed the music forever in the UK: the Sex Pistols, the Clash, and the Saints. Speaking of which, we need to spend some time on that whole story. A look ahead to Chapter 4 is next.
ongoing history of alternative rock.
We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
Mortgages, insurance, RRSPs. Planning ahead builds your family's financial security. But how can you provide the same security when you're no longer here to protect them?
To ensure your family isn't faced with the stress of making rushed decisions or emotional overspending, pre-plan your final arrangements by starting the conversation today. To receive your free planning guide, visit us at arborcalgary.ca.
Arbor Memorial is a 2023 winner of Canada's Best Managed Companies.
From the casinos of Vegas to the bingo halls of Leduc, everybody wants a piece of lady luck. And what thanks do I get? It's like I don't have any...
There's no such thing as luck. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit gamesenseab.ca.
Let's go!
So much flavor.
Cheers! Cheers!
It's time to get warmed up!
This is going to be one hell of a competition.
What'd you guys make?
The winning meal.
Wow.
There's a party happening in my mouth.
I'm here and I'm hungry.
I love to cook.
Ooh, I was called a chef.
I must be doing something right.
This spring, only on Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Hellman's, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
Window Mart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
There you are, alone in your car, waiting at a red light. Suddenly, there she is, pressed against your window, holding a homemade cardboard sign. Can you really tell what it says about her? Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
By 1975, punk rock had started germinating in New York, thanks to a little help from Cleveland. But what about England? We need to look at how and why bands like the Sex Pistols and the Clash were conjured into being. That's going to take some time, so we'll start on that story with Chapter 4, The English Punk Rock Explosion. If you want more like this, there are hundreds of ongoing History of New Music podcasts available for free. All the platforms have them. Make sure you follow and like the feed so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you can rate and review, that would be great. We can meet up on all the social media channels. There's my website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. It's updated every day. Plus, there's the free daily newsletter that goes with it. And I have another podcast. It's at the intersection of music and true crime. Look for Uncharted, Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry, wherever you get your podcasts. And I welcome any emails, too. Drop me a line at alan@alancross.ca. Technical productions by Rob Johnston. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Alan Cross.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Sundays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on 107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative. It's iconic.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
Chairman broke loose in 73 from Millhead Maximum Security. Drop pictures lined up across the front page. Seems the mountains had a summertime long way. But the chief told the people there nothing to fear. The last thing they want to do is hang around here. Most came from town with long friend's name, but one of the dozen was a hometown shame. Same pattern on the table, same clock on the wall. Been one seat empty 18 years now. Freezing slow time away from the world. He's 38 years old, never kissed a girl. Girl. We're sitting around the table, heard the telephone ring. father said he'd tell him if he saw anything. At the top of a window in the middle of the night, held back the curtains for my older brother Mike. See, my sister got raped, so a man got killed. Love boy went to prison, man's buried on the hill. Folks went back to normal when they closed the case. They still stare at the shoes and the bass I play. Mother cried, the horror finally ceased. He whispered, yeah, for the time being at least. Over his shoulder, squad car make a phone. Said, let's go, Michael, son, we're taking you home. Same pattern on the table, same clock on the wall. Been one seat empty 18 years now. Never kissed a girl. He's 38 years old. Never kissed a girl. He's 38 years old. Never kissed a girl.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge.
When I walk beside her, I am the better man. When I look to leave her, I always stagger back again. Once I built an ivory tower so I could worship from above. When I climbed down to be set free, she took me in again. There's a bee. In her charm, she just throws it back at me. Once I dug an early grave to find a better land, she just smiled and laughed at me and took her blues back again. Big heart, son, beating on the beat.
iconic.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
Another Canadian artist.
Not because we have to, because we want to. Also, it's the law.
107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
I'm so nostalgic.
1073 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
This world will never be what I expected. And if I don't belong, who would have guessed it?
Sorry, commercial lovers, but this is nonstop music. Sorry, not sorry.
This is 107.3 The Edge, Calgary's iconic alternative.